So what? If there's ever anything that keeps a pastor up at nights, especially Saturday night, it's that you come up with this wonderful message that you do everything you're supposed to do. You get it all prepared. You get all the illustrations. You get all the stuff. And then people leave and they say, so what? And I have to be honest with you. There are a lot of people that go through Easter. They celebrate the bunny. They do the eggs. They endure the chocolate. But at the end, they're still asking the question, so what? As we've been working through this series, through the 40 days of renewal, through this Lenten series, we've been asking, you know, Lord, what is it that you want from us? And we see words like, he wants to restore us. He wants to return us. He wants to renew us. He wants to renew that relationship that he has with us. He wants to take us back to the original. But the reality is that the original isn't good enough. I believe the Lord wants to do more. And I believe that if we come on Easter Sunday and we don't leave with understanding that there is more, we missed the so what. Because the empty tomb is all about more. More love. More power. More of Jesus in our lives. Because he's alive and well and he's here with us when we gather together, and he's here with us, we can understand that he wants us to have more. Brothers and sisters, my prayer is that when you leave today, you will hear these words and really understand the power in them. You know, it's so depressing when you think about it that in many Bibles, this is the end of Mark's gospel. I don't know if you know this, but in many Bibles, that's what it was at the end of the gospel lesson that we had up there. It said in a lot of manuscripts, it ends with verse 8. How would you like to be remembered as these three ladies who went to the tomb early Sunday morning? And this is how they're remembered. For trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. How would you like to end the story there? Isn't that depressing? And yet, that's where many gospel manuscripts for the Gospel of Mark ends. And I'm always thankful that we have in our Bibles because out of all of the manuscripts from Mark, the vast majority of them continue on to verse 20. But in this particular one, if you can imagine stopping there, because what does this say? Well, first of all, it says that the women were very much like us. They were asking the question, so who's going to take care of this rock, this stone, this obstacle? How many of us have obstacles in our lives? You see that picture up there? That stone? Look at how big it is. It's heavy. It's huge. It's like obstacles that we come across in our life. How many of us have come across obstacles in our life? I'm sorry that it's white there. You can't see it. The question is, what is your rock? What is your obstacle? What do you come across in your life that looks immovable? That looks like you're not going to be able to change it? This morning in the early service, we talked about the Hebrew people as they came to the Red Sea, as they had Pharaoh coming up behind them with his whole army, with his chariots and with all his soldiers, and they were up against the Red Sea. And if you know Hebrew people, they are shepherds. They are not sailors. To them, the sea is the worst thing that you could ever talk about, is being lost at sea. And yet here they are up against the Red Sea. They have no place to go. They have no control. And chariots and Pharaoh and his army are all coming up against them. That's what it felt like for these women who were going out. They were doing the faithful thing. They went and bought the spices. They knew that they had to take care of their Lord's body. They loved Jesus and they wanted to anoint him because they hadn't had a chance before. And now it was you know, after the Sabbath day, so they could do this. And they go out there and they're pondering, who is going to remove the stone? Who's going to do this? You know, I want to put the best construction on this because sometimes we're really hard on these Marys. But, you know, it's pretty amazing that when they're heading out there, they're still moving forward even though they know they got this huge obstacle, right? They're still moving forward. They're still going to do what they believe needs to be done. But then they have this kind of weird thing. It says that they were alarmed. Now, that was my best picture I could find for alarmed. They were alarmed. They were afraid. They were astonished. The actual translation there is they were utterly astonished and greatly wondering. When they got there, the stone had been moved. When they got there, the grave was empty. And they were astonished. They didn't know what to do. How many of us, when we get alarmed, do we kind of freeze? Yeah. When we get alarmed, don't we kind of freeze? I mean, that's our tendency. And so the Bible says that they were alarmed because these things that had happened, they had no control over. They did not know why these things had happened, right? These are things that they had no control over. And how many of us like being in a situation where we have no control? I can see the fear in some of your eyes, yes. We like control, don't we? We like to feel we're in control. I'll never forget, there was an early Easter like this year when I was in British Columbia, in the mountains of British Columbia, and I'll never forget driving along, and I'm going to a place called Fernie. It's a great ski hill in Fernie. And I'm driving along, and I'm coming around this curve, and unbeknownst to me, it is sheer ice on the highway. And you know, in driver's education, you get all these wonderful tips, right? If you got a front-wheel drive, what are you supposed to do? Speed up on ice, because you pull. If you got a back-wheel drive, what are you supposed to do? Slow down on ice. You're supposed to turn into the right? Supposed to turn into it? All these things are great when you take them in driver's education. When you're on the highway, on the edge of a mountain, and you start to go all over the place, those things don't really seem to come to mind. You get a little bit out of control. You feel a little out of control. And that's why I truly understand these women that are going out to the grave, because they are totally feeling out of control. The stone is moved. They are utterly astonished. They're alarmed. And it's interesting, because how does the Lord deal with these things? Well, in my case, just as I was going out of control and heading towards the edge, there was gravel, and the gravel stopped me, because it would have been very, Laura would have had a very different life had the gravel not been there, because it was right on the edge, and it was very scary. And yet, here are these women, as they're going out, God provides for them, just as Moses putting his staff out and God opening the Red Sea, let the people of Israel go through the Red Sea on dry ground. Not only that, but when the waters come back, it totally destroys Pharaoh's army. That's a type of triumph that we have in Easter. That's a type of triumph, because this is how the Lord deals with their fears. First of all, he sends an angel, a messenger, right at that moment, just like he sends his word to us. And as they're alarmed, as they're fearful, as they're astonished, as they're wondering what's going on, what does the angel say to them? And he said to them, do not be alarmed. Do not be alarmed. Because you may not feel in control, but you were asking about the stone, right? It's moved. You were concerned about Jesus. What does it say? You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? Isn't that the way the Lord works in our lives? Doesn't he, just like he did for the people of Israel when they're up against the Red Sea, doesn't he offer us a way to hear the truth? Doesn't he offer us a way to experience his presence? Doesn't he offer us a way to experience that he is in control even when we're not? Isn't that the amazing gift of Easter? Brothers and sisters, he even gives them a commissioning. He says, but go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. You see, when we feel like we're up against this huge stone in our life, this huge obstacle in our life, these things that scare us and make us alarmed, may we remember that our Lord is present in these moments. In the gospel lesson from John 20 this morning, it's interesting because as soon as Mary turns around and she's all distraught because they've taken the Lord away, who appears to her? Jesus. He appears to her. Jesus appears and we experience his presence in those times when we let go and we surrender the things in our lives that would keep us from trying. I mean, how many of us, when we get out of control, immediately want to take control back? Instead of letting the Lord show us what his will is, we want to take it back. We want to do it ourselves. We want to gain control again. And sometimes those are the times we miss out on the true blessing of being a resurrection believer, of being an Easter Christian. Because we get scared. That's us. We get scared. And they went out and fled the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Brothers and sisters, the resurrection is the power for us not to fear. The power for us to know that no matter what we come up against, no matter what the obstacle, no matter what the stone in our life, no matter what it is that gets us into a situation where we feel out of control, the Lord is present. He comes to us in his word. He comes to us in sacrament. He comes to us as a community. He comes to us through brothers and sisters in Christ. He comes to us and he says to us, do not be alarmed. I have risen. I have risen indeed. Hallelujah. Nothing can destroy what I have promised. Nothing can take away the peace that I give. And I believe that that's why we need not only to remember, not only to be restored, not only to return to the Lord, not only to do all those re-things that we were talking about, but we are to be revived. Because I like this quote. It says, the only reason we don't have revival is because we are willing to live without it. Isn't that true? The only reason we don't have it is because we're willing to live without it. We're willing to claw our way back into control by our own abilities and gifts. We're willing to take things under our control, even if it means we may not receive the blessings the Lord has for us. That's the habit we have, especially in Western society. Why is there revival? Why is the church growing in places where they have no control, where they basically have no choice but to surrender? Why? Because they see the power of the resurrection. They see the power of our Lord in amazing ways. Because they can't fix it on their own. That's what Leonard Ravenhill is saying. He's saying the only reason we don't have revival is because we're willing to live without it. We're willing to try to do things on our own. And we're willing to accept the results. Brothers and sisters, I don't want to accept those results. I want to see the Lord do his stuff. I want to see him revive us. Again, that definition there, you can't see it. I apologize for that. But basically, one of the definitions, this is a long definition of revive. And one of them says to bring back to life. And I believe that the Lord wants, through the power of his resurrection, to bring us back to life. He wants us to see the life that he has for us. And it's better than life that we can figure out on our own. He wants to bring us back to the life that he has for us. He wants to fill us with his Holy Spirit, and he wants to show us the plans he has. And trust me, the plans that he has are better than we could ever hope or imagine. Brothers and sisters, I love the text from Exodus 15 that we read this morning, where it says that they praised God when they got through the Red Sea because he had triumphed gloriously. I pray that in your lives you will experience Jesus in such a powerful way when you come up against obstacles, when you come up against those things that alarm you, when you come up against those things that paralyze you because of fear, that you will surrender and receive the power of the resurrection. That you who are dead in sin would be raised to life. That we who are in need of his power will stop trying to do it on our own and let him show up and do amazing things through us. Amen? Because Mark 16, verse 8 is not the end of the story. It's not the end of the story. They did leave. They did leave with trembling and with fear. And they didn't tell anybody, at least right then. But the Bible tells us that they were faithful to let people know that Jesus had risen. He had risen indeed. And that he had the power to not only renew them, but to revive them and to make them the people that he had called them to be. Brothers and sisters, I pray for you right now that God will revive you and he will give you his Holy Spirit in such a way that no matter what, you will experience his power each and every day, so that when you feel out of control, you know that he's in control. When you feel like there's nothing, he gives you everything. When you feel like you're just dead, he makes you alive and promises you that gift of eternal life that he won for you on the cross, the gift of forgiveness and the promise to be with you forever. Lord Jesus, we thank you, we praise you, we honor you, we give you glory, for you are amazing. And Lord, I pray that no one would leave here today without experiencing the power of the resurrection. That, Lord, we would surrender all of our rights, all of our will, all of our desire to control, all the things that are those stones in our life that keep us from experiencing what you want for us. And Lord, we would surrender them all to you so that we could see your resurrection power not only renew us, but revive us. Make us alive with the truth of your resurrection. Make us alive with the truth that you have everything under control. Make us alive with the truth that you are here with us each and every minute of each and every day and for all eternity. For you will not leave us nor forsake us, but you are there with us at all times. May we trust in your promises. May we trust in your presence. May we know your power now and always. Amen.